Thank you, Jim. Good evening, brothers and sisters. We come to you this evening in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I think I want to start off my comments tonight with praising God. I spent some time this afternoon. We got ready to go home from church right after morning service, and my air conditioner wasn't working. It worked yesterday. It worked for the last 3 days, for the last 5,000 miles. Yep, 500 miles, I guess it is. But at noon today, it quit. So this afternoon, I took a few moments, and we checked every fuse, every breaker, everything we could think of, and according to the book, and nothing seemed to help. So it was along about 4:30 or so, we gave up, and figured we'd have to do something more different than that. Well, when we got ready to come to church this evening, about 10 minutes, 5 minutes to 6, went out and started the car, turned on the key, air conditioner came right on. Praise the Lord. You know, we're not forgotten. God has been good to us. But, when I started putting my thoughts together, I really had not given much thought to the a Memorial Day weekend that we're in, and so I didn't really think on those things, except later, after listening to Brother Alvin this morning, I realized that really that's what it's all about, in memory of those who've gone before. My thoughts are really on what brought me here tonight. I didn't come all by myself. I didn't come this way by myself, but only by the power of God and His great blessing. Thinking back over history, if you want to take my journey with me, my great-great-grandfather and his wife, Mary, grandfather Francis Case, was the first ones baptized, or one of the first ones, baptized west of the Mississippi River by Oliver Cowdery. So I need to thank and give praise to Oliver Cowdery, my great-great-grandfather, his son Martin Monroe Case, and his son Martin Monroe, and his son James Maynard. Praise be God for those who have a part in my life and planted me. They only planted me. And thinking back over those early years of my life, it's kind of a strain to remember that far back, but I remember there was a family that had quite a few children. And they made a comment one day, so I understand that there would always be a Church of Christ, because the records say that as long as there's six members, one who is an elder, there is the Church of Christ. And said, we got it made. But you know, I don't know those two boys much more. There was David and Russell, and had a sister, Betty. They had another sister, I can't remember her name, and some of the other names have gone too, but they're all gone. In fact, and there was a James. And we have a few of his descendants with us yet today. Where did they go? They're gone. Their families are gone, as far as we're concerned. This morning we had a comment about the first Sunday and every other month of the year, starting with June. No, is it June? June, August, October, and December. That we're going to pray for our locals. And that has been a great concern. That's what really my thought was when I started putting my votes together. Why are those people gone? Where did they go and why? But then, as I think on it, those I mentioned only planted me. And I grew because of Jesus Christ, my Savior, and his servants, Oliver Cowdery. Isaiah, Daniel, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Paul. They all got a part in my life, though I never met them. But they took the time to give unto us the words of our God and his Son, Jesus Christ. Perhaps I could start my journey by reading the sixth chapter of John, and the starting with about the 53rd verse. In this chapter, John was trying to tell them that Christ was said he was the bread of life. And in 53rd verse, says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, so and I live by the Father, even so that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. These things seen in his synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard it, this said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words which I speak unto you, they are the Spirit, they are life. But there's some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the very beginning who it was that should believe not, and who should betray him. Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given to you by the Father. From this time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Why? Because it was a hard saying, and they didn't like it. And Jesus said unto his 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe that thou art and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. To whom shall we go? I can't go anyplace else, and I know that. But I give thanks to God that he gave me these words. If I might go on, I also forgot to mention some others that I should have remembered just in memory. Nephi, the son of Lehi. Alma. Helaman and his son Nephi. Mormon and Moroni, to name a few. They left us the words which God gave them. They took the time and obeyed the Lord in doing what he was told to do. The second book of Nephi and the 11th chapter, starting with the 38th verse. As the Lord God liveth, and that brought Israel up out of the land of Egypt, and gave it to Moses power that he might heal the nations after they had been bitten by the poisonous serpents, if they would cast their eyes unto the serpent which he did raise up before them, and also gave him power that he should smite the rock, and water should come forth. Yea, behold, I say unto you that these things are true. As the Lord God liveth, there is none other name given under heaven save this Jesus Christ, of whom I have spoken, whereby man can be saved. Wherefore, for this cause hath the Lord God promised unto me that these things which I write shall be kept and preserved and handed down unto my seed from generation to generation, the promise which it may be fulfilled unto Joseph, that his seed should never perish as long as the earth should stand. Wherefore, these things shall go from generation to generation as long as the earth shall stand, and it shall go according to the will and the pleasures of God. And all nations shall possess them, and all nations which shall possess them shall be judged according to the words which are written. For we labor to write, and by the way, these are the words written by Nephi, the son of Lehi. We labor diligently to write and persuade our children and also our brethren to believe in Christ and to be reconciled unto God. For we know that it is by the grace that we are saved after all we can do. And notwithstanding, we believe in Christ, we keep the law of Moses and look forward and steadfastness unto Christ until the law shall be fulfilled. And for this end was the law given. Wherefore the law hath become dead unto us, and we are made alive in Christ because of our faith. Yet we keep the law because of the commandments, and we talk of Christ, we rejoice in Christ, we preach of Christ, we prophesy of Christ, and we write according to the promises of our children, may know unto what source they should look for the remission of their sins. Wherefore we speak concerning the law unto our children, may know the deadness of the law, and by knowing the deadness of the law, may look forward into that life which is in Christ, and know for what end it was given. And after the law was given in Christ, they need not harden their hearts against him when they ought to be done away. I'm going to read on. And now behold, my people, ye are a stiff-necked people. Wherefore I have spoken unto you plain that you cannot misunderstand. And the words which I have spoken shall stand as a testimony against you, for they are sufficient to teach a man the right way. And the right way is to believe in Christ and to deny him not. For by denying him you shall deny the prophets and the law. And now behold, I say unto you that the right way is to believe in Christ and to deny him not. And Christ is the Holy One of Israel. Wherefore you must bow down before him and worship him with all your might, mind, and strength, and your whole soul. And if you do this, you shall in no wise be cast out. And inasmuch as shall be expedient in you, you may keep the performances and ordinances of God until the law shall be fulfilled, which is given unto Moses. After Christ shall have risen from the dead, he shall show himself unto the children, to my children and my beloved brethren. And the words which he shall speak unto you shall be a law which he shall do. And the words which is, yeah. And behold, I say unto you that if I have beheld that many generations shall pass away, and there shall be great wars and contentions among my people. I forgot also to mention some others that have a great influence on my being here tonight. To be able to read and to understand, I need to thank my first grade and second grade teacher, even my clear down to my eighth grade teacher, Mrs. Pryor, Mrs. Nichols, Mrs. Nelson, and my mother, who taught me to read. You know, it's a great blessing to be able to read, one that we don't appreciate when we're growing up, when we're struggling to put those words together and put meanings to them. But those who took the time and the effort, I want to remember them and give them thanks. As well as those who came before that wrote these things that we have to before us to remember. Where shall I go? Christ has the words of salvation. Going into the third Nephi and the other Nephi that I mentioned a while ago. Third Nephi, the 12th chapter, starting with the 10th verse. It came to pass the disciples whom Jesus had chosen began from that time forth to baptize and to teach as many as did come unto him, and as many as been baptized in the name of Jesus were filled with the Holy Ghost. As many as saw and heard as unspeakable things, they were which are not lawful to be written, they taught and did minister one to another and did all things common among them, every man dealing justly one with another. And it came to pass they did all things even as Jesus had commanded them. And they were baptized in the name of Jesus, were called the Church of Christ. And it came to pass the disciples of Jesus were as they journeying were preaching the things which they had both heard and seen, and were baptizing in the name of Jesus. And it came to pass the disciples were gathered together and united in mighty prayer and fasting. And Jesus again showed himself unto them, for they were praying unto the Father in his name. And Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said to them, What will ye that I shall give unto you? And they said to him, Lord, we would that thou wouldst tell us the name whereby we should call this church. For there are disputations among the people concerning this matter. And the Lord said to them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, why is this that the people should murmur and dispute because of this thing? Have they not read the scriptures which say, You must take upon you the name of Christ, which is my name? For by this name shall it be called at the last day. And whoso taketh upon him my name and endureth to the end, the same shall be saved at the last day. Therefore, whatsoever you shall do in my name. Therefore, you shall call the church in my name. And you shall call upon the Father in my name. And that you will bless the church for my sake, and he will bless the church for my sake. And that will be my church. How can it be my church, save it be called in my name? For if a church is called in Moses' name, then it be Moses' church. If it called the name of a man, then it is the church of a man. But if it called the name of in my name, then it is my church, if it so be that it is built upon my gospel. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye are built upon my gospel. Therefore, you shall call whatsoever thing you do in my name. Therefore, if you call upon the Father for the church in my name, the Father will hear you. If it so be that the church is built upon my gospel, then will the Father show forth his own works in it. But if it be not built upon my gospel, and built upon the works of men and upon the works of the devil, verily I say unto you that they have their joy in their works for a season, and by the end cometh, and they are hewn down and cast into the fire from whence there is no return. For the works do follow them, for it is because of their works that they are hewn down. Therefore remember the things which I have told you. I have given you my gospel, and this is the gospel which I have given to you, that I came into the world to do the will of my Father, because my Father sent me. And he sent me that I might be lifted up upon the cross, and after I have been lifted up upon the cross, I will draw all men unto me, as I have been lifted up by men, even so shall men be lifted up by the Father to stand before me, to be judged according to their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And for this cause have I been lifted up. Therefore, according to the power of the Father, I will draw all men unto me, that they may be judged according to their works. It shall come to pass that whosoever repenteth is baptized in my name shall be filled with, and if he endure unto the end, behold, him will I hold guiltless before my Father at that day when I shall stand to judge the world. And he that endureth to the end, the same is he that shall be He that endureth not unto the end, the same as he that is also hewn down and cast into the fire from whence there is no return, because of the justice of the Father, and this is the word which he has given unto the children of men. And now I'd like to turn to Matthew and 16th chapter. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And he said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, But whom say ye that I am? And they said, Some say that thou art, no. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. As I say unto thee, thou art Peter, And upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt be loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Christ is that rock, the Son of God. And Peter was given that because God had revealed it unto him. And that is what the church is built upon, and not upon anything else, but upon Jesus Christ. Let's see. Well, I think I follow my notes a little bit now. And it's 1 Thessalonians. Second chapter, starting with the first verse. And now we beseech you, brethren, that by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, and the son of perdition. Whosoever opposes and insults himself to above all and is called God, or that he worships so that he, as God sitteth upon the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. We know that there was a falling away. As he said here, Christ established the church. He set up his church. He called his disciples. He sent them out into the world to preach the gospel. But as Paul said, that already there are those who are seeking to destroy it in his day. So this is Paul's writing to the Thessalonians. In Amos, even before that, that was probably around 70 or so A.D. when Paul wrote that. The book of Amos, the 8th chapter and 11th verse. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will cause a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor thirst, nor water, but the hearing of the word of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. Now let's go to the 12th chapter of Revelations, which we thank John for. Most of us remember what that 12th chapter of Revelations is all about. John saw a wonder in heaven, a woman clothed in the sun, and the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars over her head. But he also saw the dragon that is ready to devour her and to attack her the minute she gave birth to her son. And she was in the sixth verse, it said, and the woman fled into the wilderness, and she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And then there was a war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought against his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place any more found in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, and the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And then over in the 14th verse, that the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, and she might fly into the wilderness for her place, where she was nourished for a time, times and a half a time, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth a great flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away in the flood. And the earth opened up her, helped the woman, and the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed up the flood of which the dragon cast out of his mouth. The dragon's wroth the woman and went and made war with the remnant of her seed that kept the commandments of God and had the testimony of Jesus Christ. Many of the Protestant churches of the day do not recognize that there was that falling away, that the gospel was taken away. And I have said this before, what do they think that the Dark Ages was all about if the gospel was not taken away? In a time when the Christ was gone and all of his influence was gone. And those times, it's said here, was 1,260 years, was a time when, from the time that the Dark Ages ended until time of, we find in the 14th chapter of Revelations, starting with the 6th verse, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, and have the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell upon the earth, and to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, saying with loud voice, Fear God, and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth, and the sea, and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of fornication." The gospel was brought back at the end of that 1,260 years by an angel. It wasn't handed down. It wasn't passed on from one to another. It was gone for 1,260 years. These are some of the things that make me stand fast in the Church of Christ. That I know that Christ is my Savior. And there's no other name written under heaven where mankind can be saved. And that the church was built upon that fact that he was the Son of God. Let's go now to, I mentioned Daniel. And I think most of us know what I'm going to read. The second chapter of Daniel. After the house of Israel was captured about 600 years before Christ, and they were all, a lot of them were carried captive into Babylon, and some of them were left there in Jerusalem area. But Daniel was one of them. And his three friends, and I'm not going to try to pronounce their other name, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was a name that we most remember, was part of that. And they found special favor with Nebuchadnezzar and was raised to a position of, well, they're wise men, I should say. But it came to pass that during that time that King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and it troubled his mind. But he couldn't remember what the dream was all about. He just knew that he was troubled because of it, and he couldn't remember what it was. And so he called all of his magicians in, and he said, I've had a dream, and I want you to tell me what it means. And they said, well, O king, live forever. You tell me the dream, and I'll tell you what it means. He said, I'll try to tell you that. I don't know what the dream is. You tell me the dream and the meaning of it. And of course, they was just dumbfounded with that thing. Well, how can we tell you something that we don't know anything about? And he said he also pronounced a death judgment on them if they couldn't do it, because they were supposed to be wise and all this knowledgeable stuff. And so, of course, Daniel was numbered with these people, Daniel and his three brethren, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so the word finally got to Daniel that what the decree was, and so he went to his keeper, and he said, the go between him and the king, and he said, let me talk to the king. I think I can help us. And so the keeper took him in and to before Nebuchadnezzar, and he said, O king, I think I can. There's a God in heaven that knows all these things, and he can tell us what your dream is and what it means, but you've got to give me just a little time. And so Daniel took the time to go back to his God and to offer up a prayer and to plead with God to give unto him the answer. And he did. And he went back before him, King Nebuchadnezzar, and he said, O king, thou art, you saw a great image, a terrible image, he called it. You're a head of gold, and the chest was of silver, and the breast was of brass, and the legs were of iron, and the feet was of iron mixed with clay. And you are the head of that that image. You are the head of gold because of your great power. But there's going to come another nation after you that's inferior to you, and he will overtake it. And so on down the line. But he said also he saw something else. He saw that a soul was cut out of the mountain without hands. And it rolled forth and hit that image in the feet. And it broke it all to pieces. And then he went ahead to say that in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be taken from the earth nor left to other people. Well, this was before Christ's time. But in days of Christ, the kingdom was just the legs and the feet, or part of the feet. I'm not sure they even had the feet yet then. Because Rome was to govern the world at the day of Christ. So the image didn't stand in days of Christ when Christ set up his church. But after that, actually, like I said, there was those other kingdoms. There was made in Persia that followed Nebuchadnezzar. There was Turkey that followed that, and then Rome. And then there was 10 little kingdoms in Europe there that made up the 10 feet. And they just couldn't stick together, so there was separate little kingdoms underneath Rome. But yet Rome ruled them all, including Jerusalem at that time. There's only one time in history, so they tell us, that image all stood at one time. And it's only for about a month or two at then, because they came and they went and they came and went. And at one time in history did they all stand together in 1829 and 1830. And then the image was destroyed again. And it's that time that the angel flew through the midst of heaven and hit that image in the feet, and it broke it up. These are some of the things that hold me fast. That I know what happened to the Church of Christ that Christ set up. I know why it was brought back to the earth. I know where I stand. I know where I stand. Let us go now to the Second Nephi, 12th chapter. Nephi also our day. Now, behold, my brethren, I have spoken to you according to the Spirit which constraineth me. Therefore, I know that they must surely come to pass. The things which shall be written out of the book shall be great worth unto the children of men, especially to our seed, which is a remnant of the house of Israel. And here he's speaking of what he just talked about in the 11th chapter, which I read a lot of it just a while ago, was the words which he wrote upon the plates of Nephi that have been abridged and we have in the Book of Mormon. And it's come to pass in that day when these words shall come about, that the churches which are built up and not of the Lord, when one shall say unto the other, behold, I am the Lord's, and the other shall say, I am the Lord's, and then shall every one say that hath built up churches and not unto the Lord. And they shall be contend one with another, and their priests shall contend one with another, and they shall teach with their learning and deny the Holy Ghost which given entrance, and deny the power of God and the Holy One of Israel. And they say unto the people, hearken to us and hear our precepts. Now this is after the angel flew that this happened. It's our day that he's talking about. Behold, hearken to our precepts, and if they shall say that there is a miracle wrought by the hand of the Lord, believe it not, for this day he is not a God of miracles, he hath done his work. And there shall be many which shall say, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, and it shall be well with us. And there shall be many which shall say, eat, drink, and be merry. Nevertheless, fear God. He will justify committing a little sin. Yea, lie a little, take advantage of one because of his words. Dig a pit for thy neighbor. There is no harm in this. Do all these things, for tomorrow we die. And if it so be that we are guilty, God will beat us with a few stripes, and at last we'll be saved in the kingdom of God. And there shall be many which shall teach after this manner false, vain, and foolish doctrines, and shall be puffed up in their hearts, and shall seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord. And their work shall be in the dark, and the blood of the saints shall cry from the ground against them. Yea, and they have all gone astray. They have become corrupted because of pride, because of false teachers, false doctrines. Their churches have been corrupted. Their churches are lifted up because of the pride of their are puffed up. They rob the poor because of their fine sanctuaries. They rob the poor because of their fine clothing. They persecute the meek and the poor in heart because of their pride, and they are puffed up. They wear stiff necks and high heads, and because of the pride and the wickedness and abominations and whoredoms, they have all gone astray, save it be a few who are the humble followers of Christ. And that's where we fit in. Let me read that again. Nevertheless, and they have all gone astray, save it be a few humbler followers of Christ. Nevertheless, they are led by many, in many instances, they do err because they are taught by the precepts of men. Oh, the wise and the learned and the rich that are puffed up in pride of their hearts, and all those who preach false doctrines, and all those who commit whoredoms, pervert the right way of the Lord, woe, 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 be unto them, saith the Lord God Almighty, for they shall be thrust down to hell. Woe unto them who turn aside a just for a thing of naught, and revile against that which is good, and say it is of no worth. For the day shall come that the Lord will speedily visit the habitation of the earth, and in that day that they will fully ripen iniquity, they shall perish. But behold, if the inhabitants of the earth shall repent of the wickedness and abominations, they shall be if the inhabitants of the earth shall repent of their wickedness and abominations, they shall not be destroyed, saith the Lord of hosts. But behold, the great and abominable church, the whore of all the earth, which must tumble the earth, and great must be the fall thereof. For the kingdom of the devil must shake, and they which belong to him must need be stirred up into repentance, or the devil will grasp them with an everlasting chain, and be stirred up to anger and perish. For behold, at this day shall he rage in the hearts of the children of men, and stir them up again to anger against that which is good. And that's Satan that he's talking about, he's going to stir them up. And others will he pacify and lull them away into carnal security, and they will say, all is well in Zion, yea, Zion prospereth, all is well. And thus the devil cheateth their souls and leadeth them carefully down to hell. And behold, others will he flatter away and telleth them there is no hell. And he said to them, I am no devil, for there is none. And thus he whispered the ears and he grasped them with that awful chains from whence there is no deliverance. You know, I try to think back why it is that some of these have gone that I mentioned a while ago. Because there's very few of the young people that I grew up with that are still here. Not because of age has taken them away, but they left before they got this old. Why? Why? Some went because of music. They liked the music over there. Some went because they saw a little flaw here. And things like this. He told us that there's going to be flaws here. He didn't justify it, but it's a fact. But it didn't justify us of looking somewhere else either. My point is that we need to know where we stand, what God has planned, where we are and who we are. Where else can we go? There is no place else to go. Christ has the answer. Christ, even in Matthew, tried to tell the people here on this land in that day, in Matthew, the 7th chapter, 21st verse. He's telling them, we shall know them by their fruits, for a good tree cannot bring forth good fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth evil fruit. But he went ahead in the 21st verse, and not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall be entered into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many shall say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. We need to be very careful and to know where we stand and why we stand, why we're here. I know I do not have all the answers to the problems, but I have learned that God is in charge. He will take care of it in His time and in His way. We can turn to the 10th, 9th, and 10th chapters of 3rd Nephi. My time is running out, so I don't think I'll go through all my notes, but I think most of you know what the 9th and 10th chapter of 3rd Nephi are all about. But he's talking about a time when the house of Israel will go through this land like a lion among sheep. And we know what the consequences of that would be. It doesn't tell you here. I'll just read it from about the 101st verse of the 9th chapter on. Yea, woe unto the Gentiles, except to repent, for it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Father, that I will cut off the horses out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy chariots. Our horses is my Buick and my chariot, as well as your car is your chariot and your horse. I'm going to cut off thy cities. Independence, Lee Summit, Blue Springs, Kansas City. I will cut off thy cities out of the land, and I will throw down all strongholds, our police force, our armies. What good are they? And I will cut off witchcrafts out of thy hand, and shall have no more soothsayers. There'll be no more of these kinds of things. Thy graven images will I cut off, and thy standing images will I cut out of the midst of thee, and thou shalt no more worship the works of thy hands. I know we are somewhat, and I hate to use the word proud, but pleased anyhow with the things we have accomplished, the things we have done, and yet we didn't do anything. We have not done anything. God has done it. He used us to do it, but He has done it. You know, I think back in my own case, back in about 1960 or 70, somewhere along in there, the company abolished my job. And I only had, as far as I could tell at that moment, one place to go. That's back to hard labor. I had been a lineman, a high-powered lineman, until I took a cut in pay to take a little bit easier job and lower voltage. I didn't want to go, but I didn't know what else I could do. Some of my buddies that was a little bit younger and senior than I was said, "Well, Les, why don't you bid on this job in the realty department?" I said, "I don't know nothing about relaying." And I know that a fellow that I was acquainted with there that had bid on the job and had it for 6 months, which we were given 6 months to learn the job and to pass a test. And I knew that he was electronic expert, so to speak, and he failed. So if he failed, what chance do I have? None. But in desperation, I bid on the job. And because I've been there for 20 years, I got the job. It was a struggle for 6 months. And here, it went back to my first grade teacher, my mother, that taught me to read. Because I could read the books that they gave me, I could hear better than I can now, and I learned some of the things I needed to know. But one time, it was on a Sunday afternoon, as I remember, I was doing we had a weekly lesson they gave us to do this in our training program. And I'd read this book, and I'd read it and read it and tried to answer the questions that they asked, and I didn't understand. It was a brand new language. They used words I had no idea what they were. For instance, one of the young fellows that went with me later on said he went home and was doing his book, and the question was, what is pickup? And he read the book, and he got the dictionary out, and he found out what the word pickup meant, and it's an alcoholic beverage, or a young woman standing on a street corner, or something like this. He said, I knew that wasn't right, so I just closed my book up and went to bed. Well, pickup is the amount of voltage or current that it takes for a relay to operate. Just simple as that. But it's a new language, just like this computer thing that I hate. Because it's a brand new language, and I don't know what they're talking about. Even when I can see it, I don't know what it is, because it's just a bunch of tangled wires. Anyway, in 6 months, I was able to pass the test. A miracle? You better believe it's a miracle. God not only taught me how to do it, he gave me patience to fail a time or two. And he blessed the company with patience and forgiveness for the mistakes I made, because I made some. Pretty drastic mistakes. I'm not proud of them, but one of them was I put a whole power house in the dark one day. And just snap of your finger, it was just like that. Down where Brother Bob Eddy was, they got three generators down there and two of them was down and they only had one going. And I tripped that only one that was going, and they lost all the power because the only connection they had with the outside world was through Clinton, and they was down in the dark. After they got some temporary lights on, and I went back upstairs, and there stood Clyde Briggs, the superintendent of the Hawthorne plant, Monterose plant, power plant. I said, "Clyde, I think I done it." "You done what?" I said, "I think I tripped this off." "Well, how did you do that?" "Well, I explained to him what I was doing, and it was dark down there, and I got on the wrong terminals. And the minute I touched them, the lights went out." Well, by that time, they had some temporary lights on, and they had the generator coming up again, just a turning away. And he said, "Well, it'll be a few more minutes before we're ready to go back on the line. But said, you go into my office there, and you sit down, and you write down what you did." And so pretty soon he came in and said, "Les, you go back downstairs, and you do what you thought you did before." By that time, I got my brains together, and I got to right relay. I tripped off the equipment on one of the dead generators. They brought the generator up, got back on the line. You know, I never heard another word about it. Talk about forgiveness. I'm very thankful for the fact that we forgive one another. That was only one time, and there's others very similar. But God has been good to me. And he gave me the words. He gave us the books and we really have no excuse to turn and walk away. I don't care what kind of music they got over there. As a matter of fact, with these new ears I got, even our music don't sound good to me anymore, because it sounds like it's beating on a tin can. But that's neither here nor there. But they do not have anything to promise. We need to know why we're here and what our goal is. And we need to know that the time will come when He will straighten out our problems. We have seen times when we try to straighten them out ourselves and we just get into a tangle. In God's time, He will straighten them out. I'm not saying that I am willing to go along with all of the things that I think are wrong. But all I can do is say it once. I think that's wrong. And then I'm through. It's God's hands now. He's in charge. I want to do what I can. But I know this, that there's no name under heaven save Jesus Christ, who is our Savior, can lead us and give us a way to salvation. And I know He has all the answers, and I don't have to make up any. I can just depend on Him to do it, and He will. And so with these few messages, I thank you for your journeying with me through my life. And I tell you where my hope is. It's in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God.